Many of the thoughts that I had intended to share this afternoon were uttered in the prayer that we just had before the Lord, and that is specifically that the Lord Jesus Christ submitted himself unto the will of the Father, and he resigned himself to that. And we do well, likewise, to be as our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, to resign ourselves to the will of the Father and to live in full submission to his will. Because we know that that is best. We know that is where we will have true peace and joy in our lives, and that we will have fulfillment and satisfaction in the Spirit when we yield ourselves fully and completely unto the Lord and his will. A little earlier from this event that we just read of Jesus being there arrested and taken into captivity, he was in the Garden of Eden, and he was praying to his Father, and we're all familiar with that passage of Scripture where he's praying and he says, "Father, if thou art be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." His desire was that if God was willing, that that cup that he was given to drink might be taken away. But then he resigned himself to the will of the Father, and he says, "Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou, but thine be done. The will of the Father be done." And then in this reading that we had this afternoon, Jesus says to Peter, "The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it?" He came to realize that this is what he was to do, and the Father had no other option but that Jesus would give himself a ransom for all. And so he has this submission to the Father. And he says over throughout the Scriptures that I came not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And that's reiterated in John in chapter 3 and chapter 4. And he says here to Peter, "The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it?" And we do well in our lives that we be resigned to this fact that the cup which our Father hath given us to drink, whatever that would be, that we would be willing, and that we would not resist, that we would not rebel, but that we would yield ourselves to the will of the Father and live in that submission. So this afternoon, as we go through this chapter and speak of the events that happened here, let's have that in consideration that we are Christ followers, and Christ was submissive to the will of his Father, even when it was very, very difficult for him. So Jesus here, he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane, and Judas knows that he goes there often. And so Judas, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, comes thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. So here's Judas, and here's the officers coming to take Jesus away. And if we go back to, I believe it's chapter 7 here in John's Gospel, that there was an event that happened very similar, that the chief priests and the Pharisees had sent officers to take Jesus. But at that time, the officers came back to the chief priests and the Pharisees. They came back empty-handed. And the chief priests and Pharisees asked, "Why haven't you brought him?" And their response was, "Never man spake like this man." And it was not Jesus' time. It was not his time to be taken. And so at that time, it was not his time to be taken. But here, it was his time. And he gave of himself because he wanted to fulfill the will of his Father. And so it was that even Pilate tried to stop this event from happening, from Jesus being crucified. But it was not to be stopped, because this is what was to transpire. So when it wasn't the time yet, it didn't happen. But when it was the time, it couldn't be stopped. And so Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, he went forth and saith unto them, "Whom seek ye?" So it wasn't even that Jesus waited with his disciples until Judas and the officers came to him, But the Bible here says that he went forth. He went forth to meet them. He says, now's the time. Now's the time. Let's move on now with this. Let there be no hesitation. This was how intent he was to fulfill the will of the Father. This is how intent he was to take that cup that his Father hath given him and to drink of it. That there would be no hesitation, that he would go forth, take the initiative, and go forth to these officers and to Judas who was with them. And it says, they answered him, we're seeking Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus says, I am he. And Judas was with them. It's too bad that they were looking for Jesus of Nazareth. It would have been far better if they were looking for the Messiah. They would have found him. Jesus would have said, I am he. As well as he's saying here that he was Jesus of Nazareth. But they came looking for Jesus of Nazareth, not the Messiah. And as soon as they heard that when he said, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. So a couple things here. Jesus says, I am he. Just as God said to Moses, I am that I am, when Moses was asking God, who shall I say sent me? And so God was carrying the name, I am. I am that I am. And it was Moses who the Lord spoke to. But again, if we go back in this very book in John in chapter 9, we see that the Pharisees and those that were the religious authority at that time were claiming that they were Moses' disciples. But Moses spoke unto them, unto the people of Israel, saying that the I am hath sent him. And so Jesus here is saying, I am he. And it says that they fell backward when they heard that proclamation that Jesus was there, the Son of God, the Messiah, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, that he was there. And they fell backward. It would have been better if they fell forward and worshiped the Lord Jesus Christ, as he is so worthy of that. And so Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way. So Jesus was telling the officers, if you're looking for me, here I am, but let my disciples go. Don't let them be a part of this. Let them go. That's the heart of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, one who has so much mercy and so much compassion. At this point, he's exhausted. At this point, he's very tired. He had been praying. His prayer, sweat was as drops of blood. He had been up most of the night. This is now transpiring in the middle of the night. And he's exhausted. And yet in his exhaustion, usually we're thinking about ourselves. I just need some rest. But he was thinking about his disciples. And he says, let them go. Let them go. Let them go their way. That the saying might be fulfilled, which he spake of them, which thou gavest me, have I lost none. So if we go to the previous chapter, he was speaking to his father, and he said those words to his father, that while I was with them in this world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition. So all these things were being fulfilled as Jesus yielded himself to the will of his father. And like we need to yield ourselves to the will of the Father in all things, even when we are exhausted, even when things are difficult for us, even when we might have a support group and we're asking that support group to be excused from that which would transpire against us and be difficult. So then Jesus, Peter cuts off Malchus's ear, and Jesus says, put up thy sword into thy sheath. And then again, he's saying that, the cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? And that's the thought that perhaps we can go away with from this afternoon. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? Those difficulties and those things in our lives where we just wish it was just a little different, If we just didn't have this in our lives would be so great. But let's have the attitude that Jesus had, that we as Christ followers would be as him and say, the cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? You know, when we yield ourselves to the will of the Father, we become a brother and a sister to Christ. Jesus said, whosoever shall do the will of my Father, just as he did the will of his Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister. And so this is what we are being called to. Drink that bitter cup that perhaps we are being called to drink. Let's not refuse it. And as Jesus went forth, perhaps we ought to step into, rather than step away from, that which the Lord would have for us and yield ourselves to him. Again, it's very difficult to do in the flesh, but in the Spirit, we can accomplish these things, and God will give us great peace as he gives us strength to do these things and grace. So Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. And again, it's written here in this gospel that Caiaphas is speaking with his fellow religious leaders, and he tells them, ye know nothing at all, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, that the whole nation perish not. And then it says, and this he spake not of himself, but being the high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation, and not for that nation only, but that also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. So here's the graciousness of God, that God used Caiaphas, though he was not a good religious leader, though he did not yield himself to God, that God still spoke to him, and Caiaphas still prophesied that one man should die for the nation, and not only for the nation, but for all the children of God. All the children of God. And the Bible here clearly says that he didn't speak this of himself. God gave that to him. And that's God's goodness toward all men. Jesus was asked by the high priest, Caiaphas, So tell us about your doctrine and tell us about your disciples. And Jesus responds to him saying, well, it's better that you don't ask me. Ask the people that heard me, and they would be able to testify unto you the things that I spoke unto you. He says, I spake openly unto the world and ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whither the Jews always resort, and in secret have I said nothing. There wasn't a part of his doctrine where he kept back from the people. He told them to repent. He told them to turn away from their sin. He told them to love God with all of their heart, mind, soul, and strength, and their neighbor as their self. He told them the ways of God. He told them about the kingdom of heaven. And they heard all these things. And he also told them that you can be deaf, but yet you can hear. And you can be blind, but yet you can see. And you can be lame, but yet you can walk. And you can be dead, but yet you can have life. And that was shown to the people over and over. And so Jesus is saying, they can testify to the things I've said. If I say it of myself, you may not believe me. And so it was that one of the officers strikes Jesus. And so the suffering and the abuse begin for our Lord. It says, and now Annas had sent him bound unto Caiaphas the high priest. And so here it is. He who is all powerful, to whom all power belongs in heaven and earth, they send him bound and go to another place. From Annas, the father-in-law of Caiaphas, to Caiaphas' house. And they send him bound, as if he's some dangerous criminal, as if he's a high risk at running away, as if they were going to be able to restrain the power of Christ. They did these things to him. And certainly, he could have broken those bonds very easily, Surely he could have called 12 legions of angels to take these officers and these other men away. He could have done these things. But no, he gave himself. He gave himself. They weren't able to do this of themselves to Christ, but Christ gave himself to them and for us, that we might be saved. It says, then they led Jesus from Caiaphas into the hall of judgment, and it was early, meaning that the night had already now passed, and now it's early in the morning, and they bring him to the judgment hall where Pilate was, and they themselves went not in into the hall, judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, that they might eat the Passover. So here's the religious leaders of this time. They had it all wrong. They didn't know God. They didn't know him at all. They thought that they might be defiled if they go into the judgment hall. But yet they were murderous. They wanted to see the Lord crucified. They wanted to kill him. But they thought that they wouldn't be defiled by that, but they would be defiled if they went into the judgment hall. Jesus in the previous chapter here in 16 says to the disciples, these things have I spoken unto you that ye should not be offended in me. They shall put you out of the synagogue. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. They were thinking that they were doing God's service. They're going to kill the Messiah. They're going to kill this Jesus of Nazareth. They thought they were doing God's service. And they weren't going to go into the judgment hall. They were going to stand outside the judgment hall, lest they be defiled. But they didn't know God. And they think that they're doing God's service by killing the disciples and then Jesus and others as well. And these things will they do unto you, Jesus says, because they have not known the Father nor me. These religious leaders, who should have been in tune with God, did not know God. They didn't know him. And they didn't know the Messiah whom he had sent. They thought that they would be defiled by going into a judgment hall. That's not knowing God. Jesus said when he brought forth his doctrine to the people in the synagogues and in the temple, he says, it's not what goes in you that defiles you, it's what comes out of you that defiles you. For out of the heart come thoughts of murder, of hatred, adultery. All these evil things come out of the heart and they defile you. And so these people who were so intent that they're not going to go into the judgment hall lest they be defiled, they didn't know God. They didn't know God. When we yield ourselves to the Lord and to his will, and we earnestly look into his word to guide us, that we might know what the will of God is, that we would deny ourselves, that we would take up our cross as Jesus did, and that we would follow the Lord. If we do these things that are written in here, we will know God. We will know him. We will know his mercies. We will know his judgments. We will know what God wants. And we will know that it will not defile me if I go into a judgment hall. But these people did not know the Lord, and so they were deceived. They answered and said unto him, Pilate, who asked, why are you bringing this man here? And they said, if he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee. They said, he's a criminal. He's a criminal. And if he wasn't a criminal, we wouldn't have brought him to you. Here it was that he who was King of Kings, they thought of him as a criminal. He who was innocent, they thought of him as guilty, and yet Jesus opened not his mouth and went as a lamb unto the slaughter. He who was life, they wanted to bring to him death. He who was all powerful restrained that power that he might do the will of the Father. There may be times in our lives when we have to drink that bitter cup that the Lord has called us to drink, that though we might know we are innocent, others may proclaim that we are guilty and may speak evil things against us. But yet we are to be Christ followers and be as Christ was and yield ourselves to the Lord and to have that spirit that he had that says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And then Pilate says unto them, take ye him and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, it is not lawful for us to put any man to death. So here it was, the Jews are saying, we're going to put him, we want him to be put to death. That's what we want. And the judgment hasn't even happened yet. Pilate hadn't heard Jesus as to what it is that he did wrong. But yet they already had the sentence before the judgment was made, before there was even a trial, before there was anything that happened, they already had the sentence in place. Was that he should be put to death. This is a man who's outside of the Lord. This is of those who simply don't know God and how it is that they live. But yet ours is to have submission. Ours is to be resigned to do the will of the Father, whatever it is that he would have us to do, that we would do the will of the Father. It might go well for us, it may not go well for us. Jesus drank this bitter cup. And he was struck by the officer as a claim that he was answering the high priest in a rough manner. And then it says that he was scourged and he was crowned with a crown of thorns, and that he was beaten, and then he was grotesquely crucified. And that he was buried. Jesus drank that bitter cup. He drank that cup that you and I might have life. The Lord may have us to drink a bitter cup, but God has the greater purposes in mind than that which we see or that which we know. There are instances of those who have just had a very difficult childhood. And it's a wonder, like, why did they lose their parents? Why did that happen to them? And then they go through life and they become great servants of the Lord as they yielded themselves to the Lord. And they were a great blessing unto many others. And perhaps if it wasn't so that difficulty early in their life didn't happen, maybe it wouldn't be that they were such great servants of the Lord. And so we ultimately look to Jesus. We follow him. And we yield ourselves to the Lord. And whatever it is that the Lord would have for us, we gladly submit. We resign ourselves to the will of the Lord. And then again, that peace and that joy comes into our hearts through whatever it is. Job said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Our attitude in whatever it is that the Lord has given us to drink is that it's the Lord's. Let him do as it pleaseth him. I am here to do the will of the Father. I'm not here to do my own will anymore. We are born again. We are born of God. We are his. We are his sons and his daughters, as we heard this morning. And as being born again, being born of God, we are to do his will, not our will anymore. Our will is done. Our will is gone. We're here to do the will of the Father and to glorify his name. And if it is that he would have us to drink of a bitter cup, let's drink of that bitter cup. Let's go forth to it as Jesus went forth to the officers, knowing that they were there to arrest him and to scourge him and to smite him and to spit upon him. He went forth to it. We are Christ followers. We are to go forth to that and allow the Lord's will to be done in our lives, that we might be blessed, that we might be his, that he would not be ashamed to call us his sons and his daughters, that our names might be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It was the verse was noted yesterday at the funeral, and I'd like to reiterate it, that for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time aren't worthy to be compared with the glories that shall be revealed in us. Whatever that bitter cup is that we might have to drink in this life, the glories of heaven the difficulties of this life can't be compared to those glories that shall be revealed in us. Those glories are great. And I believe we will be humbled in heaven above when we receive that from the Lord, and to think that we perhaps had a little bit of complaining in our hearts as to the bitterness of the cup that we had to drink. The Apostle Paul had great glories in him. He was able to do wonderful things. But, he says, and lest I should be exalted above measures through the abundance of the revelations that were given unto me, there was given unto me a thorn in the flesh. He had a bitter cup as well. He had a bitter cup as well. Though he had these glories of the abundance of revelations that were given unto him, he had a thorn in the flesh. He had that bitter cup. And he says, and the messenger of Satan to buffet me. And he says, lest I should be exalted above all measure. If we have it all good in this life, will we really yearn for heaven? Will we really yearn to do God's will? For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And Paul's response to that, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, in my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. The Apostle Paul was stepping into, as Jesus went forth to the officers, into these infirmities, into these difficulties, that the power of Christ might rest upon us. Will God's power be in us if we resist his will? Will the Holy Spirit direct us and guide us and comfort us in all truth if we resist his will? The Apostle Paul said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Christ went forth to do the will of his Father. As Christ followers, we ought to step into and go forth into whatever it is that he would have for us. So we would let this mind be in us, which was also in Christ Jesus. So we look to Jesus. We look to Jesus. We look to his example, that we would be followers of his, that we would be like him. And as he who was all powerful subdued that power, that he would fulfill the will of God. We likewise are to subdue ourselves, that we might do the will of the Father and be yielded in fullness unto him. The Bible says that we are looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, he who is the beginning and the end of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And this is how our desire likewise, that as it was for Jesus, who though he despised the shame, he was looking forward to the joy that would be in heaven above, where he would be at the right hand of the throne of God. May we look beyond. May we look beyond. May we look beyond those difficulties that we are in, whatever that difficulty is, and we certainly have them, that we would look beyond that and to the joy of our Lord, that we would be with him in all eternity. Jesus said, whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister. Amen.